الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, the month of Rabi' al-Awwal strengthens our bond and love for Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every believer, every ummati, it is a right upon him that he should love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than his own parents, his own wife, his children, his family members, more than himself, more than any person in the world. We should be reciting durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day of our life. A true believer is always in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is attached to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And last week we explained the verse in the 14th para regarding hayatan tayyiba, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min. The person who does righteous deeds, he pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has a strong iman, and he has that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that connection with Allah. He realizes Allah is his nourisher, protector, cherisher. Allah is his provider. And he lives a life according to the demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As taught to us by Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Then we bless him with a wholesome, a pure, a beautiful life in this world. And of course, we will bestow, or we will reward him the hereafter as well. Inshallah, today we will focus and remind ourselves and rekindle this iman and the love we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not only a particular month. Throughout the year we talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but of course, the month of Rabiul Awwal refreshes our memory. It reminds us again, we live in a world where we have taken other people as our heroes, people who lead us astray. But if we remind ourselves of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do we really understand his position in the eyes of Allah? Do we understand what maqam he holds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is his position? Some sahaba were discussing just outside the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard the conversation. And as he emerged, he addressed them. He says, سَمِعْتُ كَلَامَكُمْ وَعَجَبَكُمْ. I heard your speech, your discussion. I heard the words of amazement, astonishment that you expressed regarding the various anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Ibrahimu khalilullah wa huwa kadhalik. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is the khalil, the friend of Allah. Nabi Kareem said, yes, وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. It is true. There's no doubt about it. وَمُوسَى نَجِيُّ اللَّهِ. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَلِيمُ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. It was like that. It is true. I'm not denying that. وَعِسَى رُوحُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala blessed his mother with a miraculous birth. But Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born without a father. Allah said, "Kun fayakun," and he became. Wa Adamu istafahu Allah, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had chosen him to be the first person to come into this world, and he was the first Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah Ta'ala had chosen him. Wa huwa kathalik. And then Rasulullah SAW says, Allah. In Arabic, the word Allah is to draw a person's attention. In English, we say, hearken, behold, listen carefully. Wa ana habibullah. But I am the habib of Allah. I am the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa adamu tahta liwa'i yawm al-qiyamah. And he says that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will be under my flag on the day of Qiyamah. In another verse, وَمَا مِن نَبِيٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Not a single Nabi. Adamu faman siwahu. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and every other Nabi. So every single Nabi will be under my flag. I will be in front. Everybody will be behind me. وَأَنَا حَامِلُ لِوَاءِ الْحَمْدِ. I will be holding the flag of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor me. أَنَا أَكْرَمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. I'm the most honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the entire mankind. This is the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith he says, as reported in Muslim Sharif, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَ وَلَا فَخْرًا. I am the leader of entire mankind on the day of Qiyamah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm not saying this out of pride. Allah has conferred this blessing upon me. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَنْشَقَّ عَنْهُ الْأَرْضِ. And I will be the first person on the day of Qiyamah. We know, after we are buried in this world, there will be hashar taking place. So I will be the first person to emerge out of my grave, out of the grave. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ شَافِعٍ مُشَفَّعٍ. And I will be the first person to intercede. And my intercession will be accepted. This is a very lengthy hadith in the books of hadith, which is known as Hadith al-Shafa'ah. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a description of the day of Qiyamah. The horrifying conditions when people will be running to and fro. And people will be in a state of chaos. And people will go then to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and beg him and plead to him. Then why don't you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to at least start the reckoning? So lengthy hadith, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, no. Go to this Nabi and go to the next Nabi and carries on. Until finally they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he will go into prostration. He will go into sajda. In which he will praise Allah. He will praise Allah with such words. Al-Mahamid. Such words that Allah had not inspired any person before that. And such words were not inspired to any person before that. Can you imagine what words of praise Rasulullah will praise Allah Ta'ala then? Then Allah will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'asak. O Muhammad Sallallahu, raise your head. Sal tu'ta, ask. You'll be given whatever you ask. Washfa' tu shaffa', intercede. Your intercession will be accepted. So Rasulullah said, Wa ana awwalu shafi'in mushaffa'. I'll be the first person to intercede and whose intercession will be accepted. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَقْرَعُ بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. And I will be the first person to knock on the doors of Jannah. In one hadith it is mentioned, آتِي بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. Also in Muslim Sharif, آتِي بَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. I will go to the door of Jannah. فَأَسْتَفْتِحُ. I will knock on the door. I will ask for the door to be opened. وَيَقُولُ الْخَازِنُ. The doorkeeper of Jannah will ask, مَنْ أَنْتَ. Who are you? فَأَقُولُ Muhammad. I will say, it is Muhammad. He will say, the doorkeeper will say, بِكَ أُمِرْتُ أَلَّا أَفْتَحَ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَكَ. It was regarding you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah had instructed me that I should never open this door for any other person before you. Very first person to enter Jannah will be Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it is mentioned in another hadith, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ كُلِّهَا حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا. The Jannah has been made haram for any person to enter. No Nabi can enter Jannah until I, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enter Jannah first. Only I, after I enter Jannah, then others will be given permission to enter Jannah. وَإِنَّهَا لَحُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ كُلِّهَا حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتِ. And likewise, no ummat can enter into Jannah before my ummat enters into Jannah. Subhanallah. This is the maqam, the position of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith it is mentioned, وَأَنَا قَائِدُهُمْ. I will be the leader of the people. In one riwayat, أَنَا سَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَخَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. I'm the leader of all the messengers. I am the seal of prophethood. No Nabi to come after me. And I will be the leader of mankind on the day of Qiyamah. إِذَا وَفَدُوا. When mankind will come now before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning. وَأَنَا خَطِيبُهُمْ إِذَا أَنْسَتُوا. When everybody will be still and silent, no person will have the courage. No person will have the courage to say anything. Rasulullah says, I will speak. I will be the khatib. I will be the spokesperson. وَأَنَا مُسْتَشْفِعُهُمْ إِذَا حُبِسُوا. When entire mankind will be held back. Nabi Kareem says, وَأَنَا مُسْتَشْفِعُهُمْ. I will intercede on their behalf. وَأَنَا مُبَشِّرُهُمْ. And I will give them glad tidings, إِذَا يَئِسُوا. When mankind would be in total despair, no hope whatsoever, every person will feel that they are doomed now. There will just be destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then instruct Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give the believers glad tidings. وَأَنَا مُبَشِّرُهُمْ إِذَا يَئِسُوا. Rasulullah says, الْكَرَامَةُ وَالْمَفَاتِيحُ بِيَدِيَوْمَ إِذٍ. Honor, dignity, and the keys to all good will be in my hands on that day. Allah will confer such honor, such dignity, such respect to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith Rasulullah says, أُعْطِيتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْتَهُنَّ قَبْلِ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِ. I have been given five specific things that no other Nabi was granted these favors. And amongst the things Rasulullah mentioned, he says, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. At times of war, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still a far distance away from the enemy, and they are already trembling out of fear for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is, مَسِيرَةُ شَهْرٍ. A distance of 1 month away, and already they are awestruck. وَجُعِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And Allah has given a special favor that the entire world has been a place Allah Ta'ala has made wherever you are. It's time for salat, you can perform your salat. Of course, there must be no napak, no najasat there. But wherever the person is in the world, we're traveling in the plane, we're on the ship, or we're on land, we're going on a vacation, we stop on the side of the road, wherever we are, Allah has made the whole earth permissible for us to perform our salat. وَطَهُورًا. And there's no water that you can even use the earth to make tayammum. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِي الْغَنَائِمْ. And the spoils of war, the booty of war. Previous nations, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, when they waged a war and any spoils of war was gathered, it was not permissible for them to use that. They could not consume that spoils of war. They could not use it. They could not take it away for themselves. It had to be given back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala made it permissible for him. Rasulullah then said that I bu'ithu ila nasi kaffa. Every other Nabi was sent to his particular group or nation. He says, I have been sent to entire mankind. My respected brothers and elders, how often do we talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at our homes? How often have we educated our children about Rasulullah's position? The love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The superiority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أحب الله لما يغضوكم به من نعمه. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the ni'mat and favors He has granted you. The air we breathe in, the food, the water, the clothing, and the homes, and every ni'mat we can go on trying to enumerate them, we will not be able to enumerate all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed so many favors upon us. The fact that we are the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fact that we have got iman, this is a great ni'mat from Allah. So love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the ni'mat that He has bestowed upon you. And then Rasulullah says, وَأَحِبُّونِي لِحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Love me, why? Because my Allah loves me. Love me because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. And then وَأَحِبُّ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ لِحُبِّ. And love the Ahlul Bayt, my family, my wives, my children, my grandchildren, because of my love for them. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, there are so many incidents in their lives that have been recorded in the books of hadith. The love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Thuban radiallahu anhu's story is so famous that he is sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, that what will happen to us in the day of Qiyamah? You are guaranteed Jannah. We do not know what our plight and condition will be. However, if we also gain entry into paradise, your position in Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, or the highest of stages in Jannah, where will we be? In dunya, we are sitting with you, watching the beauty, your beautiful face, sitting in your suhbat and company. But in paradise, what's going to happen? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He only spoke when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him and revealed verses to him. After some time, Rasulullah sallallahu then recited the verse of the fifth para. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. That person who obeys Allah and who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That person who obeyed Allah and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this world, then such people, they will be with the Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam, with the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the martyrs. Meaning that then these people will gain the company of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in paradise. But this was the Sahabi's concern. This was his concern. That Ya Rasul, I have got so much of love and muhabbat for you. In dunya we are with you. What will happen to us in the akhirat? Like another sahabi, we have heard so many times from different ulama, that this sahabi goes home that night. He goes home one night and he is restless. Why is he restless? He is already missing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a different feeling. The tranquility, the serenity, the peace of mind and contentment of the heart, the kafir, the spirituality that they would enjoy. And now when they go home, suddenly this sahabi is missing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he goes back to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knocks, makes salam, takes permission, and he just says, Ya Rasulullah, I just want to see your Mubarak face, your Mubarak countenance. And then he leaves. Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, he is placed on the ground. The enemy about to kill him. And somebody, Abu Sufyan, says, at that time Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim. He says, Oh Zaid, won't you be happy that you are let free and you are happy with your family in comfort and peace and enjoyment, and in your place should be your Nabi Muhammad. Won't you be pleased that put him now in your place. Let him suffer and let him be killed instead of you losing your life, and we can spare you, you'd rather be with your family. He says, Abu Sufyan, you are talking about my Nabi being in my place. I cannot even endure a thorn pricking my Rasulullah's Mubarak body, and you are saying that he must be placed in instead of me. Huh? This is the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many examples of the love the Sahaba had for Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala, the battle of Badr, and Rasulullah is making the safs. of the Muslims before the war could take place. And they had a little stick or twig. And Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala was out of line. So Rasulullah just prodded him gently, put him into line. Sawad turned round. Ya Rasulullah, aqidni. I need to take revenge. You hurt me. Awja'tani. You prodded me with this twig. Sahaba are looking at him. What is he up to? He wants to take revenge from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallam said, no problem. Sawad said, Ya Rasulullah, I do not have my shirt on. I do not have an upper garment. These were Sahaba, they were poor. You've got your kurta on. Nabi sallam raises his kurta. Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu anhu comes forward. Sahaba are looking, what is he up to now? And Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu anhu goes close to Rasulullah sallam and he presses his body on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I just wished, I desired that my skin must touch your skin just before I go into the battle. Perhaps I will now become shaheed and this will be the last action in this world of mine. Exactly like that, Sawad bin Ghaziyya radiallahu anhu goes into the battle, he becomes shaheed. But look at the love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu sallam. Even a tree stump in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhaddithin write that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to give a khutbah, he used to be standing. And when he used to become a bit tired, then he would recline and lean on a tree stump. Sahaba then decided, let us build a mimbar for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a mimbar was built for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they had this love, affection for Rasulullah. They were concerned about his well-being. So came the day when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now comes into the masjid and he goes passes by this tree stump and he ascends this mimbar. And this tree stump is not far away from this mimbar. And suddenly Sahaba say, they began to hear sobbing. Like a child, this tree stump, can you imagine a tree, actually crying, Haninul Jiv'i, it began to cry, it began to sob. Rasulullah SAW realized, he comes down, descends from the mimbar, he goes to this tree stump, and he's mentioned in the books of hadith, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Dhammahu, he embraced this tree stump. He placed it onto his chest. He put his hands on either side. And he began to pacify this tree. Like how a little baby that is sobbing. And the parent shoes it or quietens it. And the child is still sobbing. He says that when this tree began to cry and scream, the entire masjid, all the sahaba who were present, every sahabi began to cry. Then Rasulullah ﷺ whispered to this tree stump. And he gave it this tree stump an offer. A choice. If you wish, you may remain like this. And I will make dua to Allah that Allah will make you be a tree in Jannah. And your branches will enjoy the rivers of Jannah. And the believers will eat of your fruit in Jannah. Or, if you wish, then we can remove you from here. And put you into one of the gardens. And again you will grow up into a tree. And people will eat of your fruit here in this world. The tree stump said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I wish to be a tree of the trees of Jannah. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi should then comment and he should say, then imagine this tree stump. So much of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much of shauq. So much of yearning. To be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine you and I, who are human beings, who are believers, who are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much more shauq and yearning we should have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We said durood sharif upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin. He was extremely handsome, extremely beautiful. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala used to say that it was the 14th full moon night. And I was busy looking at the 14th full moon when suddenly my gaze fell upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I looked at his Mubarak face. I looked again at the 14th full moon. Again at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. trying to see which one is more brighter. He says, Wallah, I came to the conclusion that the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the brilliance of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it outshone the brilliance of the 14th full moon. One sahabi used to say, when you saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ طَالِعَةٌ, it was as though the sun was rising. Another sahabi says, كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي فِي وَجْهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, it was as though the sun was gliding in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another person said, كَأَنَّهُ قِطْعَةُ قَمْرٍ, it was like a piece of the beautiful moon. The description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi, has collected several ahadith regarding the shama'il, the features of Rasulullah sallam, his noble habits. There are books compiled in English as well. Read these beautiful ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his beauty. Read about his beauty. That also will rekindle our iman. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he should describe Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ الْمُمَغَّتْ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ الْمُتَرَدِّدِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not very tall, nor very short. وَكَانَ رَبْعَةً مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, he was of moderate stature. Average height, wasn't very tall, nor very short. And then he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not very fleshy. لَيْسَ بِالْمُطَهَّمْ وَلَا الْمُكَلْثَمْ, he didn't have a very round face. وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِ تَدْوِيرْ, slightly round, not very elongated, not very round, just between the two. And then he explains about the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Rasulullah لَمْ يَكُنْ جَعْدًا لَمْ يَكُنْ الْجَعْدَ الْقَطَطْ, he did not have very twisty hair or very curly hair, وَلَا بِالسَّبِتْ, and not very straight hair. So it was وَكَانَ جَعْدًا رَجِلًا, slightly curly. His hair was straight with few curls in it. It wasn't extremely curly and not just straight. Then he explains in another hadith, another sahabi explains the zulfa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were times when Rasulullah's head was shaven, we know. And other times Rasulullah had the zulfa. Three different lengths have been reported. One was middle over the earlobes. Then at times it was just below the earlobes. And at times just above the shoulders. Wafra, limma, jamra. That comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wafra, limma and jamma. And then he explains the complexion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abyad, mushrab. He was fair in complexion with some reddish in his color. In other words, he wasn't extremely white. He was fair in complexion with some reddish in his complexion. Jalil mushashi wal katid. His bones, his joints were firm and solid. Rasulullah's body was well built. His shoulders were firm. He had broad shoulders. Between his shoulders was Khatamun Nubuwa, was a seal of prophethood. There was a seal. In some riwayat it has been mentioned, like the size of a pigeon's egg. Size of a pigeon's egg. Few strands of hair. And the color of this seal was exactly the same of the color of the skin of the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His eyelashes, his eye was pitch black, and it would seem as though at times he put surma, although he did not apply surma then. So beautiful, so handsome, and he had long eyelashes. There was a luster, a noor on his nose. There was a slight gap between his teeth. And this showed the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very fine gaps. And between Rasulullah, إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ رؤيا النور من ثناياه يخرج من ثناياه. When Rasulullah would speak, then light would emit from between his teeth. ضخم الرأس, his head was large and firm. His hands, his palm. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, ما مسست ديباجا ولا حريرا ألين من كف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, I did not touch any silk fabric, any silk material in my life that was softer than the palms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The manner in which he walked, إِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّعَ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ تَكَفَّأَ كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُ مِنْ سَبَبٍ. It was as though Rasulullah was coming down a steep hill, a slope. And this is how Rasulullah would walk, slightly bent forward. Not too much, slightly bent forward. And he would pick up his feet firmly and put it gently onto the ground. In other words, he would not drag his feet when he would walk. My respected brothers and elders, we can go on describing our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan bin Thabit rahmatullahi alayhi, the poet, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built a special minbar in his masjid. He would say, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّمَا خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He says, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ more beautiful and more handsome than you. No eyes have ever seen. And no woman has conceived any child more handsome and more beautiful than you. You have been created without any weaknesses in your body, any flaws in your body, as though you have been created exactly how you wanted to look. Subhanallah. And at the end of the hadith of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, يقول ناعته, the person describing Rasulullah would say, لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, I have never seen anybody before nor after like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَلَغَ الْعُلَى مِنْ كَمَالِهِ. He reached pinnacles, he reached the heights with his perfection, his kamal. كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world when there was darkness. The world was literally dark. It was just gloom that prevailed. There were the forces of kufr, the darkness of kufr, shirk, oppression. People were consuming alcohol and wine in such a manner that it is mentioned in the books of history, when a child is born, the very first thing, like how we would make tahnik and put some kajur, they would place a few drops of wine into the child's mouth. A person who was in charge of the Kaaba, he was the custodian of the Kaaba, he was prepared to give over his custodianship of the Kaaba just for a jar of wine. This is the time when Rasulullah came into this world. There was darkness, but when he came into this world, there was light. When his mother Amina gives birth to him, the entire room lit up, in which they could see the palaces of the Roman and Persian emperors. كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ. Every single quality of Rasulullah was perfect, so beautiful. صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. Therefore we should recite through the upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially on a Friday we should read in abundance. Inshallah next week we will discuss the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was rahmatul alameen. Today we discuss, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, Allah loves every single Nabi of his, but every Nabi Allah addressed by his name, Ya Musa, Ya Adam, Ya Isa, Ya Nuh, throughout the Quran. But when it comes to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him as, Ya Ayyuhal Nabiyyu, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. This is the love, the extra love. In fact, scholars have written, you know, Surah Al-Ikhlas, the tafsir, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أحد. Say, Allah is one, Allah is self-sufficient. Allah has no parents, Allah has no children, there is nobody like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu, ulama and mufassirin have written, that as far as Allah's right and haqq is concerned, the suratul ikhlas is just like suratul kawthar with regard to the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do they mean? You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send on inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, what is the meaning? That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily we have given you abundant goodness. Al-khayr al-kathir. Oh, we have given you the hawdi kawthar, the pond, the fountain of kawthar. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal that surah? Because the mushrikeen, the enemies began to taunt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the demise of his son. He said, you've got no children. You've got no children. They began to laugh at him. You've got no sons, sorry. You've got no sons. Who's going to carry on your mission? You've got no sons. Rasulullah obviously felt grieved. He became sad. Allah sent down this ayat in the surah. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli lirabbik. Read salah wanhar and make qurbani and sacrifice. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Verily your enemy, they are cut off and deprived of all barakat and khair. In actual fact, they've got no progeny. They are deprived of all good. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has given you all good. So in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though He's saying, O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as I, وَكُنْتُ ذَابًا عَنْكَ, I defended you. I defended your shan, your status. Like that now in Surah Al-Ikhlas. People began to mock. And they would say that Allah has got a son. With regards to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's got no son. So the Arabs would treat that as an aib, as a fault, as a defect, that he's got no son. And regarding to Allah, ma'adallah, you see Allah has got children. Allah has got a son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as in Surah Al-Kawthar, I defended you. Now, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah is one, and Allah is self-sufficient. Allah has got no parents, and Allah has got no children. My respected brothers and elders, today is a public holiday. We have already exhausted, the time is exhausted. It is a nikah, so it will take place now. But may Allah Ta'ala give us the true muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the demand of this muhabbat? To send durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to make the kamil ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To love him, respect him, honor him, and to follow his beautiful sunnah. And that is lacking in our lives today. We will talk about his love, perhaps we'll read durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we should be doing. But now let us bring the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah into our lives. Then inshallah we will find ourselves becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has mentioned, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, if you claim that you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. That is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will then love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive your sins. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat.